Now concerning spiritual, I will not be ignorant. I will explain that as now concerning the things of the spirit. Now concerning the things of the spirit, I will not have ignorant. Paul saying the things of the spirit there. He expressed it that you have started reading from chapter 1, chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 4, he said, I've come to you with the demonstration, in the demonstration of the spirit and of power, which is the preaching of the gospel, verse 13. He calls them spiritual men. The men who have received God's spirit. In verse 17, it says, the Lord is the spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And so he has said that you have known that, of course, the spirit will not be a shorthand for what happened in the resurrection. Again, the gospel now emerged, which means that men can now believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Again, that would be a shorthand for, so when you say spirit, is a shorthand for what? The events of the resurrection. That is, this came from the resurrection. When I say ministry gift, it's of the spirit, or the spiritual gift. That means it came from the resurrection. When I say tongues, which is a gift as endowment, right? That the tongues is spiritual. That means it came from what? The resurrection. Alright. So, again, that is, we have things that came from the resurrection. Obviously, we say the gift will not be in twofold. It will be gift as endowment, which we will see in verse 8 to 10. We'll see the well of wisdom, well of knowledge, discernment of spirit, prophecy, faith, miracles, healing, tongues, interpretation of tongues. And so you see that as endowment, and also gift as men, better put, gift as ministries. Firstly, God has sent some in the church, first apostles, and secondly prophets, miracles, teachers, and all. Right. And so we say we have gifts as endowments, we have gifts as ministries. That again points to the fact that ministry gift is not a coinage of human wisdom. It's a product of the resurrection. We have also seen that not just Paul, right? Ministry gift is actually from the Ecclesia, and the Ecclesia was a Moses' terminology. The Ecclesia was Moses' terminology, not just anybody. Paul did not just sleep and wake up and say, well, yeah, let's have things we call pastors. No. He said that Moses was the one that chose the 70, then he chose the 12. Jesus replicated that in his ministry also. He had the 70, he had the multitude, he had the 70, then he had the 12. We are also going to establish that what happened to Moses' 12? 10 of them did not make the promised land, right? And so that those 10 will not be what happened to Judas. Just that simple. And so the Ecclesia is Moses' terminology, and what we are doing is actually to replay it over and over. We also know that if we take away the book of Paul, right, we still have ministry gifts. We are in operation. John spoke about it, the writer of Hebrews. Jude spoke about it. Peter spoke about it. Peter mentioned apostles in 1 Peter 1:1 and 2 Peter 3:2 and 1 Peter 5 verse 1-5 mentioned elders. We see that John mentioned elders in 2 John 1 and 3 John 1. Jude mentioned servants, Jude 1 and Jude 17 now mentioned apostles. Rather, Hebrews 13:7 and Hebrews 13:17 mentioned those who have the rule over you. That you can call that bishop, actually. That's the word for it. Those who have the rule over you, that's the bishop. And so, look at that again. We have also been able to see, that the primary ministry gift is the Christ, right? Right? In him we find apostleship. In him we find evangelist, in him we find the bishop of our souls, the shepherd of our souls, and he is also that great teacher. John chapter 3 verse 2, Matthew 7, 29. Ephesians 4. So we had four school of thoughts that we said we would just think on. We said, number one, the apostles and the prophets are foundational gifts. And that means they have gone. But what we have today will now be evangelists, pastors and teachers. Eh? That's one, and so it's quite convincing because obviously there are apostles, spiritual apostles that nobody else can be like. No other person can fill in that shoe forever. There's no matter of grace that is upon you today that can be equal to the metron on Peter or Paul. They were the foundation apostles. They were the ones Jesus gave the ministry to directly. The proton. So when you hear firstly apostles, what you 28, that should make sense to you. At least firstly apostles. When you are talking about gifts as ministries, the first people were the foundation apostles. He gave them. And that's why you see that no person was authorized to be called an apostle at all until the disciples, which are the apostles, right, actually gave the consent. Before Paul could preach, Barnabas had to bring Paul and say, accept him. And they now acknowledge his apostleship in Galatians 2. You know this, right? Eh? And so, they are the foundational apostles. And so, that's what I thought can make sense. That is gone. They have done their work, which is to breed evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Then there is a second theory that says what? That the pastor and the teacher is the only one who will be responsible for the perfection of the saints. Because the perfection of the saints has to do with teaching. Right? He will come in the unity of the faith unto the knowledge of the stature of Christ. We are basically going to get there. Unto the knowledge of the stature of Christ. Alright? So it's evident to say it's the teacher that will be responsible for the perfection of the saints. But if it's the teacher, then what is the apostle responsible for? Planting churches? Maybe? Prophet thinker? Seeing visions? Well, is that the ministry? Because we have to look at everything in the line of the ministry. The ministry is to reach out, Psalm 68:11, right? Eh? To publish, right? Great are those that publish the word, right? The word of his promise. Black tidings. And so the made as the ministry. So that is the ministry. Then every ministry gift should be doing the ministry. Right? And so teachers alone cannot suffice to say, or pastors and teachers cannot suffice to say, they are the ones teaching. So, no to that theory. The third theory says there are five folds. Again, we have said this is quite debatable because where do we now insert the elders? Where do we insert the bishop? Right? Because we can't, without doubt, we find out that there are people that are called elders and there are people that are called bishops. Right? Uh-huh. So, if there are five folds, I say they are just strictly five, then that means elders will either come under one of them, right? Uh-huh. Or one of them we call under elders, anyhow. But I will say no. The last one, which is quite sensitive, very sensitive. If you agree on that, you have minds, because it's very sensitive to say every gift is one. That means you are saying that we don't have five foods, we don't have four foods, we have one ministry gift. Is that what you are saying? Ephesians 4. Verse 11 says he gave unto some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the defining of the body of Christ. And so we see that the work schedule is the same. The perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the work of Christ. Because the word for is the word post. Post, that is in view of. So he gave PROS in view of. He gave apostles, evangelists, prophets, pastors and teachers in view of the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Again, let's see that. So if one schedule is the same, then where then is the diversity? What then is the diversity? If their work schedule is the same, why can't you just call all of them one name, right? Since the work is the same thing. Just call them one name. But let's look at, in the verbiage of Jesus, in Jesus' language, he called the apostles, people we now call apostles, foundation apostles, Jesus actually called them prophets. Right? In Matthew 10:41, when he says, I am sending you into the world, right? He that receives a prophet, and he was talking about the 12. He that receives a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet reward, Matthew 10:41. He that receives a prophet in the name, that doesn't receive a prophet in the name of, that is not a prophet, will not receive the prophet's reward, right? When he was talking about people accepting their message or not. And so what we call apostles, Jesus called them prophets. Which Paul will eventually now You may hold on in Ephesians 3:5 when it says, the foundation of the apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Again, the apostles are the prophets. The apostles are the prophets in this case. And that would be the foundational apostles. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? But, funny enough, Paul now used that prophet for everyone. He now said, everybody can prophesy. We have seen that, in the last teaching, right? 1 Corinthians 14:1, 1 Corinthians 14:4 and 5, 1 Corinthians 14:21, and so on. That Paul said everybody can prophesy, right? 1 Corinthians 11:5, if a woman prophesies, alright? So why would there be such dichotomy? What about evangelists? I would come back to where we are coming from. What about evangelists? Evangelist was only mentioned once. Aside Acts 21, where Luke called Philip an evangelist. And that was because of what? Obviously, to describe what happened in Acts 8. Philip was one of the seven that went to Samaria, the villages in Samaria in Acts 8, to preach. And so Luke wants to point your attention to that and now says, Philip the evangelist. Acts 21:8. Right? So, again, don't forget that the book of Acts is purely descriptive, right? Very descriptive. And so, just the same way we describe Agabus as a prophet, eh? And he was talking about revelation, we describe, alright, let's do that. Again, he's now describing Philip as an evangelist. Why? Because he went to preach in Samaria, in the village in Samaria. But aside that, you now find evangelists in 2 Timothy 4:5. Let's look at that. 2 Timothy 4:5. As the one who teaches. 2 Timothy 4:5. It says, but thou in all things endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. What was he saying in verse 2? Preach the word. Preach the word. So that means an evangelist will preach the word. Right, so we've seen an evangelist, but everything still seems like a cobweb. We are saying that apostles are the prophets. Now the evangelist is descriptive, preaching. Aren't the apostles preaching? Aren't the pastor preaching? Isn't the pastor preaching? And so we look at how we can blend everything together. Again, whose responsibility is reaching the unsaved? Every disciple, every believer. Right? Because Jesus also, having taught his disciples in Matthew 4, having preached, he now told them in Matthew 10 to go and preach. In Isaiah 52:7, which Paul will be laying hold on. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach. Which Paul will be laying hold on in Romans 10, when he says, how can they hear? Romans chapter 10. Without a preacher. How shall they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim good tidings. Again, what we call ministry gift will now be the expressions of Christ, right? Right? He set some in the body. He set some in the church. That means what we call ministry gift will be expression of Christ. We have said that ministry gift is sharing of whose ministry? Christ. So that means the expression of Christ is what we see as a pastor, what we see as an evangelist. They are the expressions of Christ. Saying that means that the best way to teach ministry gift, a better way to teach ministry gift will be what? Is he a verb or a noun? Eh? A verb. As what is done. So, it's healthier. It's healthier to teach that what is done before teaching that who is. Because who is actually dependent on what is done. So, I can't just wake up moment and start calling someone apostle. He must have done something, right? And so, ministry gift is now example in a verb, in an action. So, it's firstly an action. Pastoring is firstly an action before title, as it were, the obligation, the pastor, is first something. Then that you see someone who is not teaching. Someone who doesn't actually pastor anybody. He doesn't have the answer from anybody, but because he was fellowship president in 1992, he has been a pastor. That's very wrong. Because ministry gift is firstly a verb. Isn't it making sense? It's not once a soldier, forever a soldier. No. If you pastored before and you are no longer pastoring, you should not be called a pastor. Because pastoring is active. It is what you do. I don't get what I just said now. Eh? Alright. Again, we said the preaching of the gospel is incumbent on the disciples. Look at the book of Acts. If you look at the book of Acts, you look at the progression of the book of Acts from Acts 1 to 5. From Acts chapter 1 to 5. What you will find is the apostles and their disciples. The apostles and their disciples in Acts 2, Peter, verse 11, Peter rising up with the 11, those are the apostles. The 11 will be the new Matthias, making it 12, making them 12. Alright. Alright, so Peter in Acts 2, Peter rose up with the 11, that's the apostles, right? And then after that preaching, they now had 3,000 souls won, right? Those are the disciples, right? In Acts 2:42, that says, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, right? The breaking of bread and the prayer. So, we now have disciples and the apostles. From Acts 1 to 5, that's what you keep saying. Many disciples were added to the church. Acts 3, Acts 5. You make sense? But, once you just come to Acts 6, you now start saying, they now chose 7 people. They now chose 7. Right? In Acts 3. Acts 6, verse 3. Go and look among yourselves. 7 men who are of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, right? That says, let them serve tables among you, right? From Acts 6, what do we now see? The apostles, the disciples are who? And deacons, right? And deacons. That progressed until Acts 11, when we now saw prophets. That progressed till Acts 13, when we now saw prophets and teachers. Acts 13:1. Let's look at Acts 13:1. So again, as the word of God is preached and ministry is being received, then we now have emergence of ministry gifts. That is the way it has always been. When disciples are growing more and more, there will always be ministry gifts emerging. It makes sense because gifts is among men for men. Acts 13:1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Till now we never heard that there was any teacher. But now we are hearing certain prophets and teachers. And so that means discipleship has grown and ministry too has grown. Again, the work of reaching the unsaved again is for every believer. Christ in us reaches the unsaved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ in me reaches the unsaved. Right. So all believers have that ministry on the earth. Whether you are good to it or not, you will soon realize that every believer has the ministry of reaching the unsaved. Remember, primarily, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the shepherd is for Christ. Now let's look at Ephesians 4 again, verse 12. He gave them apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, this is Paul. Did you ever see evangelists in Peter's writing? Did you see pastor in Peter's writing? What did we see in the writings? Apostles and elders. In all the writings, right? Can we now say that what Paul did in Ephesians 4:11 is to explain the elders? That is what everybody just called elder. Paul now tells us, write in those elders who have apostle. An apostle that is not foundational apostle. So, again, we have apostles on their own, the 12, right? Just as Moses is 12. They will now have, within the elders, where they summarize as well. So elders will now become a summary for evangelists, pastors, like that. That makes sense? Now, don't get too excited soon. I'm going to say something very clear in some minutes. So, Paul's teaching will now be to elaborate what others call elders. All right, the gift of the Spirit. Peter will just say, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. You know, in the book of Acts, reading the book of Acts normally, you know, you might not know that there's something called interpretation of tongues. Right? Yesterday they magnified God. Acts 10, 46. They magnified God. They spoke wonderful works of God. Acts 2. Right? You know that, it's Paul that brought to the realize, his interpretation of tongues. Right? And so, just the same way he clarified the gift of the Spirit. It's Paul that makes us know that there's something called word of knowledge, word of wisdom. How else did Peter know what Ananias and Sapphira did? You know, there was actually virtually no explanation for the gift of the Spirit. They just said, we knew that they had, that there was a gift of the Spirit, right? But they didn't explain. So Paul will now come in first and answer, and now put everything on the table and say, what you call gift of the Spirit? Let me now tell you, there are diversities. You make sense? And so, what they all called elder, too. Paul will now come to the table and say, let me tell you what it means. Pastors, evangelists, apostles, who will not carry the authority of the foundational apostles, right? But there are also apostles who explain those gifts one by one, and the prophets. Making sense? At least the pressure has gone down small. Alright. For example, there is an Apollos. that was called an apostle, but he is not a foundational apostle. Apollos was called an apostle, but he's not a foundational. Of course, Paul made him realize that in Ephesians, in 1 Corinthians 3, when he says, I have laid the foundation. Exactly, that's what the apostles do. Ephesians 2:20, right? The foundation that is laid upon the apostles and the prophets. Ephesians 2:20. The apostles laid the foundation. Every other person will now what? Build on it. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? So, the apostles own the foundation. They laid the credence for the faith. They laid the first step for the faith. Firstly, apostles. Every other person will build on it. So, Apollos, though, was called an apostle, right? Yes, Paul will now say, he didn't lay foundation. I laid the foundation. He's building on it. Is it making sense? Also, apart from Philip in Acts 21, no other person was called an evangelist. Apart from Agabus, Judas, and Silas, no other person was called a prophet. Look at Ephesians 4:12 again. That says, he gave them for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting is the word katatismos. Ephesians 4:12. I'll wait for you. For the perfecting. We explain the word pros, right? For, in view of something. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the refining of the body of Christ. Now, there are two thoughts to this. It's either, listen, it's either they are individually doing it. That is, the apostle is doing what he's doing for the refining of the body of Christ, for the perfecting of the saints, right? The prophet is doing what he's doing for, the evangelist is doing what he's doing for, it's either that they're doing it individually, or that their ministry collectively. Can you get what you said now? See that they are doing it individually for the perfection of the saints, or collectively, what they will be doing will be for the perfection of the saints. Did you get that? Let me show you if you get that. Okay. The word perfection work at Tisimos, it's K-A-R-T-A-T-I-S-M-O-S. K-A-R-T-A-T-I-S-M-O-S. Of course, you know from catechism. Now, it's used for equipping something. Now, let's begin with Matthew 4. The word catechismus. Because let one of your leader be in Ephesians 4. Matthew 4, verse 21. And going on from there, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending net. And he called them. The word mending, is actually the word catizo. That is, they were equipping the net, something like that. Actually, when you say catizos, it means to prepare something for the next day. How about that? To prepare something for the next day. You find it, what Jesus said in Mark 21:16 and Luke 6:40. And so it says, he gave ministry gifts for preparation. How about that? That is, you are preparing the saints for a work. You are preparing the saints for a work. You find that word used again in Romans 9:22. First Corinthians 1:10, 2 Corinthians 13:11, Galatians 6:1, it means to restore, the word restore there, Galatians 6:1, restore such one in the spirit of meekness. 1 Thessalonians 3:10, Hebrews 10:5, katatizo, or katatismos, perfect. Hebrews 10:5, Hebrews 11:3, Hebrews 13:21, and 1 Peter 5:10. Alright, so, again, the gifts are fitted into the body to carry out its function. Don't forget, all these gifts will be where? In the church. All these gifts will be in the church, just like Moses' tabernacle, right? The world comes to the tabernacle, right? And I explain that Moses used that to prefigure ministry gifts in the church, alright? All these gifts will be in church. So, no matter how much you say, an apostle, he actually is, function is in the church. The evangelist's function is in the church. The prophet's function is in the church. Also, the pastoring teachers. Every ministry gift must function in the ecclesia. Just like Moses. Jesus singles out, what sort of happens that Jesus singles out the work of ministry as teaching. In John 21, he told Peter, feed my flock. I believe we have seen that already. So I'm just going to go. It says, feed my flock, John 21, 15, 16, 17. Feed my lamb, feed my sheep. Feed my lamb, feed my sheep. And so, that means Jesus summarizes the work The ministry gift to work, to be what? Teaching, right? Because we already explained, feed my flock, amen, right? To find grace for something. G-A-R-A-Z-E. I think I already explained that. Alright. So, Jesus explained the work of the ministry gift as teaching, or as pastoring. Pastoring is better, better put. Pastoring is better put. You mean teaching, put pastoring. It puts as pastoring because by saying, feed my flock, that means I'm talking about the shepherd. Right? Right? I'm talking about the shepherd. So it explains that pastoring, put that somewhere. Go back to Ephesians 4:13. Where it says, so it says, he gave the gift for this purpose, plus, and it's in view of the preparing of the saints for a work, Abby. Catechismus, right? Right? So when you prepare a net for the next day, alright. Matthew 4:21. Right? Where it says, till we all come, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Till we all come. That is, till we all individually mature. So who are the all there? Or who are the we, brother. Till we ministry gifts, all the believers. Alright, the believers, thank you. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. That is individual maturity. So we all mature towards something. What do you think we are all maturing towards? We see. In the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a what? A teleos man, a perfect man. What perfect is what teleos? T-E-L-E-I-O-S. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That word stature is what will catch our attention. So it says, this is what we are maturing to. A stature. See, we all come in the unity of the faith. Every believer, individually maturing, right? Into the knowledge of the Son of God, of course, the other need to be, we are maturing by the knowledge of the Son of God, right? Because that's what they are perfecting us with. That's what they are preparing us with. So we are maturing by the knowledge of the Son of God unto a stature. What's that word, Elekia? H-E-L-E-K-I-A. H-E-L-E-K-I-A. It's for a suitable age. When you get a suitable age. Or a span of life. Look at, it's used in Luke 2:52. I just quickly go run through everything. Usages. Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and elekia, in stature, and in favor with God and man. Not used for height, physical height, so no. It's used for a suitable age, a matured age, something like that. Luke 9:3. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither stays, nor scrip, nor bread, nor money. Luke 19:3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the place because of his little stature. Luke 19:3. Luke 12:52. From henceforth there shall be Verse 44. Luke 12:44. Of the truth I say unto you, that he will make him a ruler over that which he has, again, for so long he has matured. Find Luke 19:3, John 9:25, and Hebrews 11:11. Luke 19:25, and Hebrews 11:11. So, the believer ought to mature into these gifts. And so, when you say, Elekia, stature, that stature is actually the stature of the gifts. That's the teleos, right? Mature, right? Unto a perfect man. Unto a perfect man. Who is that perfect man? The one who will now furnish and equip another person. He's the perfect man. He has gotten to that suitable age. He has gotten to that span of life. That he can now entrust the life of God's saints and God's sons to his care. And so the believers also mature into ministry. And I hear people say, I want to go spiritually, but I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. It's just so that you're not going spiritually, really, because the end product should actually be that. Does it make sense? What ministry gives, being a ministry, what it says about you is that you have good report. That you are trusted. You are trustworthy. Right? And so, every believer should be able to mature into you. Into what you now are. Right? I don't want to be like a pastor. Right? That's exactly what it is. You know what it says? That is, I'm looking at this person and I say, I want to be like this. I want to grow into this. And that's what Peter was saying in 1 Peter 5. That is, being an example to the flock. Again, that is the elekia. So the one, when it says maturing, you are growing in all things, is actually to grow into that maturity of gift, of the gifts. So, if you take Moses' explanation of the elders, and this deduce, it will be the same thing. And this will help you mature into the gifts. So every believer, starting from I get saved, the next thing is that I will not be getting furnished by the word, right? 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 I will get furnished by the word, preparing me for a work. Catechismus, right? Uh-huh. So, while in the work of ministry, I am still being prepared for the work of ministry. What do you think? Every believer will be doing the work of ministry. But right? By doing the work of ministry, it's actually a catechismus, a catizo, or catechizo rather, to still be in the work of ministry. But this time around, as a man of stature, man who has now gotten to an height that we can entrust him with the life of God's people. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, Paul actually acknowledged that they are apostles. Verse 3 says, "For I have delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures. He was buried and raised the third day according to scriptures." Verse 5, "He was seen of Peter and of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained of these brethren, but some are fallen asleep." Verse 7, "After that, he was seen of what? James, then of all the apostles." Verse 8, "And the last of, he was seen of me, as a born, one born in due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not supposed to even be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Hallelujah. Again, he recognizes apostles. So we have apostles, who are the 12, right? So put that somewhere. In Galatians 2:7, when I said earlier, how that the apostles also recognized the apostleship of Paul. Galatians 2, verse 7 says, "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision was the same that was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And then when James, Peter, and John, who seemed to be the pillars, perceived the grace of God that was given to me, they gave to me Barnabas, me and Barnabas, the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen, and they should go to the circumcision." And so, Paul is saying that when they realized the apostleship, his apostleship, they gave him the right hand of fellowship. The right hand of fellowship means to accept what you are doing as good, and to give you the support. Again, in 1 Thessalonians 2:6, Paul calls Timothy an apostle. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 2:6. Verse 5 says, "For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is our witness, nor of men sought which we glory, neither of you, nor yet others, when we might have been burdensome, as what? Apostles of Christ." As apostles of Christ, we were talking about verse 1, Silas, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. So he calls Timothy and Silas apostles of Christ. But earlier on, do you remember that he told Timothy, "Be the work of an evangelist"? 7:4-5. Remember that? Now he's calling him an apostle. He also called him an elder. Yes. So you see that. In 2 Corinthians 1:19, let's also look at apostle. Is there something? "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by us, even by me, and Silas and Timothy. It was not yea and nay, but in him was yes and amen." In verse 1, he already calls himself Paul an apostle. An apostle. What apostle is the word apostolos in the Greek? A-P-O-S-T-O-L-O-S. Apostolos. Apostolos. It means a delegate. A-P-O-S-T-O-L-O-S. Apostolos. That's the way it sounds. A delegate. So, this is an apostle. If the church in Rome now sends a delegate, listen, to the church in Corinth, to go and represent the church, you call that person an apostle. And so you can understand that it's primarily a verb than an action. Again, the apostle you are talking about, is it a foundational apostle? No, exactly. We have put that on the side. And so, a delegate, someone who goes to represent another. So it's better explained with the verb. In 1 Corinthians 9:1, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am unto you. For the seal of my apostleship, you are in the Lord. Am I not an apostle? And that's Paul to the church in Corinth. Again, why would he say, am I not an apostle? Because you were sent out from the church in Jerusalem. Remember, right? Separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work I have sent them. So, the church now laid their hands upon them, right? We have seen that in this series, right? And they now sent him out. And so, him being a delegate to the church, to the Gentile church, now says, am I not an apostle? And so, when you see, apostle Paul, is because he was sent out from the church in Jerusalem to represent the church to the uncircumcision. Verse 6. For I only, or Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working. Okay. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:12. Verse 11 says, it has been declared unto me by them which are of the house of clay, that there are contention among you. Now this I say, that every one of you say it, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Why are you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you. See, so he mentioned apostle, why? Because in verse 1 he already says, I, Paul, called an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and so say me. Our brother. 1 Corinthians 3:22. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the word of life, the birth of Paul and things, all are yours. Again, he's talking about apostles. Apostles. So, apostolic would then be a function. So to be apostolic, it would be a function. A function. Romans 16, verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among what? Among the apostles who are in Christ before me. Again, apostle is in a function form. So who is an apostle, please? A delegate, one we sent. The sent one. Something like that. The sent one. Sent one. How about prophets? Again, we have seen earlier that Paul used prophet that anybody can prophesy, right? Right? That's the way he used it, that everybody can prophesy. But let's look at the specifics. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Right within that is where we find the details. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 29. Look at verse 37 first. If any man think of himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that arise unto you. The commandment of God. If any man thinks of himself to be a prophet, who did he call a prophet? Verse 29. Let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. Right? Right? So prophets are those who speak by inspiration. And it can be any believer. Verse 31 of course proves that. When it says, For ye all may prophesy. Alright. For ye may all prophesy one by one. But there are those who speak by inspiration. Right? So in verse 37, when it says, if any man thinks of himself to be what? To be a prophet. The word think is the word okay. D-O-K-E-O. The word think. If any man think, dokeo. It means appear, to appear. To put on a form of something. So if anyone appears like one who speaks by inspiration, that makes sense? If anyone appears like one who speaks by inspiration, so whoever he calls a prophet will not be in the class of the foundational apostles, right? Again, we have distinguished that we have the apostles, right? We are the foundational ones. Is that one still obtainable today? The foundational apostles are not obtainable again today. You can't say Peter, James, Fermi, Apostle Fermi, something like that. Okay? But are we going to have apostles? Under which are we now going to put that? Under the elders. Right? And so we have apostles and elders. Can you ask why every other person says apostles and elders? The apostles will be those ones that you cannot obtain. The elders will be those that are still present today. But right within the elders, Paul now helps us in the way that right in the elders, you now have apostles, those saints, just like Jesus. You know, he sent them. We now call them apostles. Right? Behold, I sent you into the world. Exactly, that's the apostle. The sent ones. And so, Paul is now saying that right within the church also, the ecclesia, we are the sent ones. They don't carry authority like the first sent ones, but they are also sent. So apostleship will be a function in the church, right? They delegate. But he's not saying that there are also prophets. people who speak by inspiration. So if any man thinks, 1 Corinthians 13:37, if any man thinks himself, if any man appears like one who speaks by inspiration. So, of course, he won't carry the authority of the first class of prophets, right? Remember, we said Jesus also called his disciples prophets. Right? So he won't carry the, these prophets will not carry the first class of prophets. He will carry the kind of class of Agabus. Right? Agabus was also a prophet, the New Testament prophet, actually. So, the prophet will also will be an elder. One who has reached an Elikiah. He has matured and is now known for the things of the Spirit. One who you can trust with the things of the Spirit is what you call the prophet. So, a prophet is a person who has matured. Remember that every gift is one who has reached an Elikiah, right? And so, if you look at it in that way, so, depending on the sense you can represent your church, your local church, it's not the one that will go and disgrace you, right? He must also be able to teach. Because that's what the church stands for. 1 Timothy 3:15. The pillar and ground of truth. Right? And so, if someone is going to represent the pillar and ground of truth, he must also be skilled in teaching. Right? Right? And a prophet is now the one who has matured to an Elikiah, right? To a stature that you can now trust him for his inspiration. For the things he says by the Spirit. You can now trust what he says. So, we have seen the prophet too, also. Is the one who is now known for the Jesus. So, Paul's prophets would be those who have matured. Again, any believer can be that. There's no special call for you to be known very well with the things of the Spirit, right? You don't need any special call. Right? By practice, by desire, like Paul explained, you reach that. So, again, for every time Luke called someone a prophet, you observe that revelation is in view. When he called Agabus a prophet, there was a revelation in view. There will be famine, you know, throughout the world, and the church now took a step on that. That's like giving a word of knowledge, right? And so he has grown to the extent that you can trust him. And so the church now sent relief to the church in Jerusalem, right? They now sent things to the church in Jerusalem because they knew that there would be something by word of knowledge. So before that thing came, they already sent what they would use. And so they trust other Agabus on that. That means someone who has reached an Elikiah. And is now known for the things of the Spirit. What about an evangelist? Again, we said it's used for Philip in Acts 21:8. Philip the evangelist. And we said that would be descriptive of what? Acts 8, right? When they went to Samaria, right? So he's telling us that Philip preached. But observe that the role of an evangelist that we saw in 2 Timothy 4:5. Why would Paul call Timothy an apostle? Because he sends him on errands. Alright. He sends him on errands. In what? You say, I will send Timothy shortly to you. I will send Timothy shortly to you. Alright? So, you call that kind of person an apostle. Alright? For example, let's say your pastor wants to, he's meant to teach somewhere, and then, he probably will, because of one thing or the other, he was able to go, and he now sends maybe the Pam or something, to go and teach, where you call Pam. On that assignment, is what? An apostle. Why? He is now trusted. He has grown. He is trusted enough. Because, of course, anybody that will send to God will send you. Is someone who must have reached an height, right? An Elikiah. A stature. Alright. How about an evangelist? 7:4-5. We see who an apostle is, are we? Eh? What about prophets? Eh? Well, let's say evangelist. 7:4. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. Interesting. What was he saying? In verse 2, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they will eat from them teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into what? Fables, but thou in all things endure afflictions, do the work of an angel, and he says, make full proof. Make full proof is the word plerophoneo. Full proof. Plerophoneo. Phoneo. We find this in Luke 1:1, Romans 4:21, Romans 4:21, Romans 14:5, Colossians 4:2, 4:12, 2 Timothy 4:17. Luke 1:1, Romans 4:21, Romans 14:5, Colossians 4:12, 2 Timothy 4:17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. I'm reading 2 Timothy 4:17. That it might be fully known. So that foolproof means to be fully known. It's actually the work of persuasion. Make foolproof. Conviction. So the work of an evangelist is actually to make foolproof of ministry. He will bear the good news, nevertheless, but he will also now persuade and re-establish convictions. Is that what the pastor also does? So can we say, listen very well, that, listen, pastoring will now envelope prophets, because a pastor must flow with the things of the Spirit. He must learn to teach and flow with the things of the Spirit. Pastoring will also envelope times where you have to actually represent your local church. When you go to preach somewhere, as a pastor, what you are doing is actually you are a sent person from your local church. It's not yourself that you are going on. Right? You say pastor of so. Right? So that means you are a sent one. Right? So, in pastoring, a pastor is actually an apostle. He must actually be an evangelist. And he's also a prophet. Right? Because he must flow well with the things of the Spirit. He must have reached a stature where you can trust what he says. Inspired by the Spirit, right? Will you also be a teacher? So, can we say that what others called elders is what Paul called pastor? Come on. Is that true? Okay. Let's go on. So, it appears that a common place for all the gifts is the preamen, the shepherd. So, the protective thing they all do is actually shepherding the flock. That's what Jesus said, John 21. 15, 16, 17. That's what everybody is doing. They are shepherding the flock as a collective thing. So, in the course of shepherding the flock, they will be sent. They will also have inspired utterances and revelation. That's when you now say prophet. And so, your pastor, at the moment when he is filled with the gift of the Spirit, that is the believer's meeting, what you have is a prophet, right? As the ministry of a prophet. When he's not teaching here and probably he's somewhere teaching, that is an apostle there. Is it making sense? So, kind of is more explained in the actions than in the person. But what do you now call him generally because he has oversight over people? The pastor. Let's get the word pastor. Poimen. P-O-I-M-E-N. Use 173 times. Poimen. You find it in Jeremiah 23:4. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more and not be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. So, again, the word shepherd, amen. In the Hebrew is Rahi, or is it Jehovah Rahi, the Lord our shepherd. That's only used for ministers of God, the prophets of God, and also used for God himself. Obviously, we share of his ministry. So, feeding the flock is to nurture, which is by primarily teaching. So, feeding the flock, listen very well, feeding the flock will be to nurture, with primarily teaching. Then, but it's not just nurture. So, because if it's primarily teaching, when your pastor is teaching, then he's a teacher at that moment, right? Right? But what will that be the specific function of the pastor? It will not run into welfare, or you now call counseling and all those things, making people's life a part of your own life, right? That's shepherding. That is, you are caring for them. So, part of that care will be teaching, part of that care will be to flow with the things of the Spirit, give them divine inspirations, also part of that care will be welfare. You nurture people, you counsel them, and all of that. So, can we say Paul's ministry gifts is only to explain the others? Are you going to be right to say that what Paul did to the elders was just, he now spread it on the table across the board? That is, the elders, don't quote it. Then he poured the dice. Alright. Let's look at what elders again. Acts 14:23. And when they had ordained them, elders in every church, they prayed with fasting, they commended them unto the Lord whom they believed. The word elder is the word presbyterios. Let me spell it. P-R-E-S-B-U-T-R-E-S. You must have heard the Presbyterian Church. That's the Church of the Elders. Alright. Presbyteries. Maybe no good call something else. So, again, elders are involved in the church. Elders are exactly a short form for those who have oversight, over God's people, just like Peter said in 1 Peter 5 verse 1 to 5. Again, let's have that 1 Peter 1 verse 5 to 5. So we can just set your elders once and for all. 1 Peter 5 verse 1. The elders among you, I exhort, whom also I am an elder. So by saying whom also I am an elder, that's a short form for many things, right? Right? That means I will inspire you by the gift of the Spirit, right? I'm sent unto you, right? Because he was writing to people that started abroad. Huh? Then, I will also teach you, right? Then I will also nurture you and counsel you. Uh-huh. So that's a short form. He says, of whom also I am an elder. You can also say the ministry of the pastor actually encapsulates all these things. Huh? I would like to say the ministry of the pastor encapsulates all this. Alright. Okay, verse 2. Feed the flock. Can you see that? Which is among you, taking oversight thereof. Feed the flock would be teaching, taking oversight the pastoring, not, also, taking oversight also going to, we'll see that. Not by constraint, but willingly, not for fulfilling local, but, of a ready mind. Never been as lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Now, is it being examples? Eh? That's the elikia, right? People are going to grow to be like you. And so you must be examples. That's why you now find a lot of qualification for someone to obtain that kind of position, right? Find a lot of qualification. So he says being examples unto the Lord's flock. So that example will be in the training. As you'll be training them by precept and by actions. So when the flock matures, they will be doing exactly what you are doing. Now verse 5, he now says, no, verse 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive the crown of glory that faces the way. Likewise, ye younger elders, submit yourselves to the elders. That is what we call you, a stand pastor. Right? Younger elders. That is, among the elders, there are now more elders. Something like that. So what you call senior pastor, assistant pastor. Alright. Submit yourselves to the elder. Yeah, all of these servants will not have total unity for God. Receives the power and gives grace to the humble. So, Paul simply splits leadership in Ephesians 4:11. He splits eldership and now calls it pastoring and all and all. Is it a special call or everybody goes into it? Huh? So it's not that all, you that just got born again yesterday. So by next month, that's what God called you. When? Which line? No. You will grow into it. That's why it takes a number of years. Experience is part of pastoring. Experience is part of it. Because you are dealing with people, and so your experience is also part of pastoring. You observe that, Peter was made, the head of the 11. Obviously, history has it that it's because of his age. He was more mature than the rest. And so, the work of oversight was put on him. Is that clear? Uh-huh. So, sometimes age actually comes into play. Also in pastoring. But Timothy was 16. I was called an apostle, an evangelist, a pastor. So that should. So I said, what of bishop? Again, bishop, you don't have to think much. Paul used the bishop, word bishop among the Gentile church primarily, the church that were not Jews, right? Eh? Because, Gentiles might not understand elders. The only thing I understand is that are Israelites, right? Because of Moses. The Gentiles understand bishop. Bishop means governor. One who governs. Is the word episcopi. E-P-I-S-K-O-P-E. Episcopi. Right? That's a bishop. It means governor. Governor. Again, this is in Gentiles church because they might not understand elders. But of course, if they understand governor, immediately he said, alright. So, elder, pastor, bishop, isn't it? Eh? Those bishop are now those who have oversight. When you see, Peter says, overseer, you have an oversight. That's the word bishop. Someone who governs a number of people, right? So that's a bishop. So the pastor is a bishop, actually. The bishop is also an elder. An elder is a pastor. One and the same thing. Was Timothy an apostle? Yes. Right? Because Paul sent him. Was he an elder also? What about pastor? Yes, he was one of the pastors of the church in Ephesus. Tell me something?
Alright.
Okay, so now look at 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul was talking to Timothy and he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same you commit unto faithful men who will be able to teach other. So faithful men are the people who you mentioned in, of course, in 1 Timothy 3, verse 1, when he says they must be able to take care of the church of God, take care of his own house, must not be given to wine, not a striker. You see all of that in the next teaching, right? So, it therefore means that God's idea of ministry gifts will be in the local church. That means, the way you not be a ministry gift, you not be that. You not be chosen by prayer. You know what's prayer? God, who is the pastor? God, who is the pastor? And I say, is that man that just came to church yesterday? No. A ministry gift will have been proven. He must have been tested and proven that he can be trusted. No? So, Hebrews 13:17. We have read that earlier on, but let's just look at it again. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves for the watch over your souls that as they that must give account. That you may do it with joy, not with grief, but is that's a problem. So, they are responsible for your growth, ministry gift. How would you know that you are growing when you also are now responsible for others? Does it make sense? Right? So, ministry gifts are responsible for your growth, of course. Ministry gifts, will now be, an umbrella for what? Pastors, right? Let's remove pastor. It now be an umbrella for what? Teachers. Pastors will be there because of the oversight function, welfare care, and so what we call ministry gifts will not be what? Those five: apostle, pastor, teacher, evangelist, and prophet. Right? All enveloped in that way. Eh? Again, the primary work of the apostle will actually be to teach. That's what Jesus said, Daddy. Eh? That apostle will now be what he does once in a while. He must not always be the sent out one. You are not in your church. You are always sent out. No. Your first work is with the people God gave you. The apostle will be a temporary function. What happens, apostle. And so because you are not in charge of that other place you went to, we won't call you the pastor. You know what I mean? So you are not a pastor in that place. You will be a delegate. Right? So he now takes that term from Jesus' disciples, Jesus' delegate. Now calls them apostles. Does it make sense? So because if I go to another church and I'm not the pastor there. Pastor means I'm the one, they are my people. I can't be saying, hey bro, that's a problem. I don't see you in that next service. I'm sure I'll be in the next service. So I'm not the pastor, I'm just a delegate there, right? Delegate most probably to teach, right? And so, right in your head, as you are calling yourself apostle, you know that the first thing you should actually do is teach. A prophet. Teach. Evangelist, think of very clear. Make full proof. Conviction, persuasion. Exactly the work of the teacher. Pastor. And the man of God may be truly the prophet, truly furnished unto every good work. 2 Timothy 3:17. Forget that. Alright. So again, the way we know that we are going spiritually is that we are now responsible for others. So is it possible today that someone start out well and end up falsely? Yes. Because it's required of stewards to be found faithful. Again, 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, we now see Paul use the word elder. Let the elders that truly will be kind of worthy of double honor. Especially what? Those who labor in word and doctrine. So we now see that the work of the elder is not for church projects. The work of the elder is not you want to help the committee of the church. The work of the elder is to labor in the teaching of the word. So is the elder the evangelist? The elder the evangelist, is he the pastor, the teacher? Exactly. Let them be counted worthy of double honor. Elders rule well in doctrine. about deacons. Exactly, we said they are like the people who will now assist the bishop. They will assist the bishop. That's what we call deacons. In Romans 16. Again, who is the bishop? Eh? The pastor, thank you. Sometimes, some of us get everything all messed up and, me, I'm a bishop, I'm not a pastor. Romans 16, verse 1. I commend you unto Phoebe, our sister, who is a deacon of this church which is at Central. That word servant is where the Iconios, deacon. And so, verse 2 says that you see that the Lord has become saints, and that your sister in whatever business that she needs of you, for she has been a succor of many, and of myself also. So, the people who assist bishops are called deacons, right? We've also seen that from Acts chapter 6, verse 3, right? So, deacon means one who assists in the natural things. Again, don't forget the progression of ministry gifts, book of Acts, right? From apostles and disciples, right? We now have the seven who are deacons. Then from deacons, we now had prophets. Then from prophets, we now had prophets and teachers. Then from there, we now saw Philip the evangelist in Acts 21. Then Paul now brings everything, he laid everything there and told us what the ministry of the elders would contain. Exactly. Without Paul, are we still going to have ministry gifts? Yes. But we might not have much details, right, onto what the elders are doing, apart from oversight and teaching. But Paul is not telling us that when he sees someone who is actually sent to another church, to another local assembly, right, that is not his own, he said that such one is called an apostle, right? A sent one from the local church. I want to believe that apostles today are actually missionaries, primarily, because a pastor is not, he's not an apostle for long, right? He's not doing for long, but there are some people that stays an apostle. You now call them an apostle, right? They actually are submitting to a local church, but most likely they are missionaries, probably in another country, somewhere far away, right? Actually still doing work from that church. The report is still being sent to the church. Oversight is still from the church. They still control what you do and what you don't do, right? So you now call such person by that kind of place. Imagine someone who is from the church in Nigeria, right? He sent to Gambia, right? And he's going to probably spend about 10 years there. You know, you call such one an apostle. He's an apostle there. Right? Is it making sense? And so, ministry gift is better explained in actions, as verbs, rather than nomina, rather than a person. Where the idea of I was called came from is because we look at persons. Right? Where a person says, he's a pastor. Do you even know what he's doing? To call him a pastor. He's calling him a pastor. One who actually is running an house fellowship, of people that come from different churches. He's running an house fellowship of people that come from different churches. He's not a pastor. Remember, every ministry gift must be found in the ecclesia. It must be found in the ecclesia. You must have oversight. You must have control. Remember control? If you say something, are they? That means, anybody cannot control. You cannot control where he goes to on Sunday morning. You cannot control. Then you are not his pastor. You are not a pastor. Alright? So what Paul did in Ephesians 4:11 and 1 Corinthians 12:28 was actually to just remove the veil and explain what elders do. That's what he did. Alright, we'll continue from there.